The ministry of Jesus focused on the needs of people. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover the difference Jesus Christ can make in our lives all year long.
Satan is going everywhere he can looking for lives to destroy. And your hope and my hope is not found in therapy. It's not found in religion. It's not found in spiritism. It's not found in signs. It's not found in experiences. Your hope and mine is found in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Jesus often avoided the spotlight and instead focused his ministry on the needs of people. In our series, The Ministry of Jesus, we will explore the life of Christ, who he is, and what he taught. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Through the New Testament, those who encountered the ministry of Jesus never left quite the same. In our series today, you'll discover the difference Jesus makes when you engage with him personally and experience his touch in your life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Jesus and His Skeptics.
Not only did Jesus know their thoughts, but he's saying your thoughts are illogical. He's saying your thoughts are illogical. Now notice in verse 18, the Bible says, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? You see, Satan's kingdom was not divided. And this axiom is very simple, that when something turns on itself, it becomes self-destructive. Why then, if Satan wants to build a kingdom, would Satan divide himself, is what Jesus is saying. Now notice in your notes, Matthew 12, 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And so we see that Jesus is calling their blasphemy into account. And Jesus is reminding them that in their misunderstanding of his power, they were attributing something to him that was very blasphemous. They did not realize Satan's kingdom is not divided. Not only that, the Jewish exorcists, they did not claim satanic power. Notice what Jesus says about that in verse 19. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Jesus says to these religious leaders who were questioning him, who were skeptical, he says, if I'm casting out these devils by the devil's name, how are your sons doing this? There were Jewish exorcists as well. And he asked them the question, by what authority? If it's not by the name of Jesus, if it's by the devil, then are your sons doing what they do by the authority of the devil? And he asked this question to them. And the point is that what his opponents were saying about Jesus would also have to be accepted about their own kin at the same token. And so the fact was that the Jewish exorcists were failures so oftentimes. And I want you to just take note of that for a moment. In Acts 19, 13, notice what it says. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. And they that fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now, if you follow that Acts 19 passage, they were going to use the name of Jesus, the Jewish exorcist. But when they tried using the name of Jesus, the man that they were trying to see released from the demons came and attacked the exorcist in that case. And the Jewish exorcist utterly failed. And I want you to mark this down. You can read through the entire New Testament. You will never find a time when God's word does anything but deliver. Jesus never fails. And every time Jesus called out a demon, they obeyed his voice. But that was not the case every time the Jewish exorcist called out a demon. And so Jesus said, essentially, if I'm doing this by Beelzebub, what power are your sons doing it by? You misunderstand my power. But his critics also misunderstood his authority. They misunderstood who this was. Notice what it says in verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. See, Jesus was declaring his kingdom authority, and his power was coming from the finger of God. Matthew refers to this as the Holy Spirit. Now I love this phrase, the finger of God. Notice that in verse 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils. Now let me ask you this. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh? Amen?
Amen.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So think of this finger, if you will. And picture in your mind Jesus pointing his finger at the demon possessed and calling that demon out. And he's saying to them, you misunderstand my power. My power does not come from Satan. And you misunderstand my authority. My authority and my kingdom does not come from this world. It comes from above. And when I point the finger at this need, it is the finger of God. And it is with power and it is with authority that I make these claims. Now then, Exodus 8 and verse 19 gives us an illustration of that. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And the Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. You remember the Exodus, and you remember the stories of Moses and the plagues and how the blood and the lice and the boils and the frogs and all of the plagues of Exodus and the scribes and the astrologers of the day said to Pharaoh, listen, this is the finger of God. This is God that is doing this. But the reason that Pharaoh did not believe is because he kept hardening his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no end to the life of a man or woman in its despicable nature when he or she begins to question God and harden their heart toward God. And that is exactly what these skeptics were doing. They were seeing the very finger of God heal someone, but they were skeptical and they were denying the very presence of God in their midst. You see, they misunderstood his authority. The kingdom of God had come, and Jesus was demonstrating that he was more powerful than Satan himself. If you would, look at verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Jesus uses the picture here to show a cosmic battle between Satan and himself. And Jesus likens himself to the strong man. And in this context, Satan has a house that is secure, but someone that is stronger has come, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to have discernment today. That's why we need to have understanding today, because there are many spirits in this world, and there are many spiritual entities in this world. And that's why the Bible says these words in 1 John 4 and verse 1, believe not, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You see, in this pluralistic society, and someone says, oh, Pastor, I saw Oprah on television, and she had all these religious people, and they were all holding hands, and one was talking about Islam, and one was talking about Buddhism, and one was talking about Spiritism, and one was a Christian, and they were just all gathered together and standing there in a spirit of ecumenicism, singing Kumbaya. Isn't that wonderful? And the answer is no. You say, well, why isn't that wonderful? Because it is only wonderful to a Christian when the name of Jesus Christ is high and lifted up and when he is preeminent. You say, well, why do you say that? You think you're better than everyone else? I'm not better than anyone else, but the one that I serve, his name is above every name. Now, let me show you what the Bible teaches about trying the spirits. Look what it says, 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in this world. Friends, there are many spirits in this world. There are many demonic presences in this world. Some, I believe, that could even somehow simulate certain miraculous events or certain ecstatic events. And what we need to understand is that we want to place our confidence not in the spirits of this world, not in the religions of this world. We want to place our confidence in the very Word of God. And that's what it means to try the spirits to see whether they are of God. You see, Jesus is stronger than all religion, stronger than all spirits. Verse 22, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoil. Satan's armor pictures his power, but the stronger one is pictured with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the critics of Jesus, they misunderstood his power. They misunderstood his authority. But thirdly, the critics had a choice to make. They had a choice to make. Now look at verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now let's read the first part of that verse together. Verse 23, the first phrase, ready, begin. He that is not... You see, to not consciously join with Jesus is to be against him. He that is not with me is against me. The skeptics could keep saying, show us a sign, show us a sign. Well, we'll see, we'll see. Maybe it's Beelzebub. Maybe he's just lucky. I don't know what's going on here. Give us some more. And finally, Jesus says, all right, number one, you misunderstand my power. Number two, you misunderstand my authority. But let me just bring it to this. You have a choice to make, and you need to decide whether you're going to follow me or not. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus Christ. We must determine, and we must decide consciously that we will follow him. There's no neutral ground. You have either decided to follow Jesus Christ, you have trusted him as your Savior, invited him into your heart, or you have not yet decided. There's no middle ground. And Jesus says very clearly, he that is not with me is against me. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm against Jesus, but have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we see the accusation of the skeptics, and boy, they're very clear in their accusing and very hateful. But the answer of Jesus, he says, you don't understand my authority. You don't understand my kingdom. You need to recognize my power, and you need to decide this day whom you will believe. Well, notice finally this morning, the advice that's given for the lost. Let's come back to this man. This man that was called a dumb man, this man that could not speak, this man that had been delivered of the demon. And notice, first of all, in verse 24, the Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Now, that's an interesting verse, and it shows us the need for transformation. It shows that every man and woman and boy and girl needs complete transformation. There is no neutrality in spiritual war. And the only hope for this man with whom who had just experienced the exorcism, was that there would be complete transformation in his life. Now listen to this important principle. And this morning I'll call it the replacement principle. It's not enough to put off the old. We must bring in the new. And you must understand that you can go to AA, and you can go to counseling and therapy, and you can try every which way to be delivered from the demons. And you may have success for a while, but until Jesus Christ is in your house, in your heart, you will never know what total deliverance means until you not only have the opportunity to let go of some things, but to believe, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many people who want the quick fix. No doubt this man wanted to talk. No doubt he wanted to be delivered from this power. The maniac of Gadara, the Bible tells us, this man cut himself in the graves and ran around naked and screaming and in chains and tetters. And this was a man that was miserable. And no doubt when Jesus Christ delivered him from those demons, the Bible says that he was seated and in his right mind and in a place of rest. And that's a wonderful thing. But you need to understand something today. It's not just about being delivered from those things. It's about then letting Jesus become your Savior and your Lord. Back in Colorado, when I used to work on the farm and in the summers, a lot of times we would have to go through the process of getting all the weeds out of the field before we could plant the seed in the field. We'd cultivate the fields, and then I'd get out there with a hoe until I got blisters getting the weeds out of the field. But when the weeds were out, then we could put the seed in and a beautiful crop would come. If we never put the seed in, then the weeds would come right back, and that would be the dominant feature in that particular parcel of ground. And you see, it's not enough just to pull weeds, But we must take the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and we must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we must be transformed, as the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And look at what it says there in verse 24. In the last part, it says, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. This demon that was cast out of the man, he wants a place to live. And the text is telling us he's more than happy to come right back to that same unsaved person and make his body, his house, once again. And the only way to put up a sign that simply says no rooms available is to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. And when the devils come, they're going to find that while demons may oppress and there may be spiritual warfare for the Christian, they can never indwell the life of a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, we're learning from this passage that when the evil spirit is cast out, that if a stronger spirit, the Holy Spirit, is not indwelling in the person, then that spirit can come back and sometimes can bring other spirits back. You say, whoa, that's kind of a bizarre passage. It ought to make you thank God today, if you're saved, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, you see. But what I want you to realize, a lot of people come to church for the quick fix. Boy, I've got these demons of anger. I've got these demons of alcoholism and drugs, and I need some help to get rid of that. And there's a place for counseling, and there's a place for all of those things. But until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have that strength, that power, that most powerful one in you to fight against the presence and the foe of the devil. And make no mistake, if you're not a Christian today, the devil is constantly looking for lives that he can ruin, constantly looking, and he'll do whatever he can do. He'll use any tool. It might be your Black Sabbath record. It might be the Blue Oyster Cult or Kiss. It might be some game that your children play unbeknownst to you, some Dungeons and Dragons type of game. It might be some type of bitterness or some type of drug or alcohol or some type of illicit behavior on the internet. Satan doesn't care what tool it is. He just wants an inroad into your heart so that he can dominate your thoughts, so that he can get you on skid row, so that he can ruin your life. The Bible says in Job 1 and verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence camest thou? Then Satan answered and said to the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Satan is going everywhere he can looking for lives to destroy. And your hope and my hope is not found in therapy. It's not found in religion. It's not found in spiritism. It's not found in signs. It's not found in experiences. Your hope and mine is found in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's why we must come to the Savior, to put our trust in him. Jesus is the only complete deliverer. He is the one that is stronger than Satan. He is the one that can protect and provide for your home. And so there is a need for transformation. The need is not for some type of therapy. There's a need for complete transformation. And we call it regeneration. Jesus called it being born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. That's the change from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. So he says, you need transformation. But notice, secondly, there's a need for vigilance. A need for vigilance. For those of us who are saved, Satan cannot indwell us. But he can tempt and try to destroy. And we can learn from this passage as well to be vigilant. Notice the Bible says here in verse 25, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished, speaking now of this man. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now here we see this demonic presence. This demon has left the man, but the man, all he's done is kind of cleaned up house. All he did was have deliverance. And it's a wonderful thing if you're here today trying to get your marriage together or trying to get off some problems. It's a good thing that you want to get your house clean. But the bad thing is this. If all you do is clean up some of the stuff, now you just have a cleaner abode for Satan to come right back into. And this is what the Bible is teaching for the unsaved man. If the demon, verse 25, findeth it swept and garnished, then he goeth and taketh to him seven other spirits. There are instances in the Bible where dozens of spirits indwelled, one single person. And so the fact is today that we must realize it's impossible to be neutral in spiritual warfare. You need to give your heart completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn completely from these other things, and trust him completely and solely. There are two forces in the world today. Yes, there's a real devil. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is more powerful, but you must make the choice to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Psalm 8 and 81 and verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked according to their own counsels. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, don't walk according to your own counsels. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you have been saved, thank God you cannot be indwelt. Thank God that Satan cannot get into your heart or your house. But recognize that the Bible commands us that we are to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to get you angry or discouraged or out of the Word of God or involved in some temptation. And you've got to recognize the need to walk in the Spirit and follow the leading of the Lord in your life. And so this morning, this is one of those passages that deals with something that perhaps is unique and different, and yet I believe very relevant to the day in which we live. And I believe there are several lessons we can take from this, and I want to share a few as we close this morning. First of all, I want you to be reminded from this passage, Jesus Christ has power over all evil. Jesus Christ has power over all evil. And I'm going to tell you something, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. Because we serve a risen Savior. And we learn in this passage that no matter how powerful the demon would be, that if a stronger one is present, he will not take up residence in our life. We serve the one that is all powerful. And we serve the one whose blood has all power to redeem. We serve the one whose spirit indwells the life of the believer. We serve the one who's given us a word that is like a rock undaunted. It is sharp and powerful, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And I'm just simply saying, if you are in Christ, you are on the winning side today. Thank God for that. Jesus has all power over evil. Run to the Lord in times of temptation. Secondly, we've learned a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Whether it's Satan's house or any house, a house divided cannot stand. And I don't know if you're here today at odds with your husband, your wife. I don't know if there's a teenager with that spirit of rebellion, which the Bible says is like the spirit of witchcraft. I don't know if there's a family here today that's experiencing some division, but it might be that someone here needs to apologize to their spouse. It might mean that someone here needs to say to a parent, I'm sorry, I've been wrong, will you forgive me? A house that's divided cannot stand. Make sure that you seek to be the peacemaker and to have unity in your home. And then finally, and I think most importantly, we've learned this morning, it's not enough to stop an old habit. It's not enough to throw away demonic videos or music. It's not enough to get religion. What is most necessary is that with repentance, we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. And by repentance, I mean we change our mind about ourselves and about Jesus and who He is. And we say, my religious thoughts won't get me to heaven. And my Alcoholics Anonymous class won't get me to heaven. And my therapy won't get me to heaven. And I'm turning to say, Lord, only You can forgive my sin and take me to heaven. And only You can keep the devil from coming and inhabiting with his spirits in my life. And so today, Lord Jesus, I trust in You to be my Savior and take me to heaven for all of eternity. And the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And if you don't know that today, I just want to encourage you today, turn to Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face
and renew your heart in His Word. Each devotion includes a scripture passage and provides an encouraging truth regarding your walk with the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org.
We hope today's message has encouraged you.
Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org.
And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.